looking at Luke chapter 22. If you've got your Bibles, please turn with me there. Luke 22. We're going to start with the 24th verse. I'd said the 25th verse and the stuff that I gave ladies for the bulletin. So don't go to the 24th. They should have that up on the screen. Again, I want to encourage you to look in your Bible yourself and follow along, because, you know, it's up to you to make sure that I'm taking God's word and rightly dividing it, that I am not somehow trying to push in my interpretation or man's interpretation into God's scriptures, make God's scripture fit what I want it to, but instead that I am pulling out of God's word what His God has to say. That's your job. Make sure that I'm doing that. You can't do it if you're not looking in your scriptures. Okay. Luke 22, verse 24 says, "Also, a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, 'The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors, but you are not to be like them. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules over like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers.' But he replied, 'Lord, I am ready to go to death. I am ready to go to prison to you and to death.' And he answered, 'I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times that you knew me.'" Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you have put it here to encourage us, to lead us, to instruct us, to guide us each and every day, that we might better know you, love you, and serve you. Father, I pray right now for each person who's here that as they hear this message, Lord, you would speak to them through me, that you would touch their hearts and lift up your word and what you have for them to glean from this today. Where it is that you have that spiritual food for them that they need, that encouragement, that blessing, maybe even correction. Lord, I pray right now that you would use me to bless your people here. Lord, not that I might be encouraged, not that I would be glorified, but Lord, so that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm doing an 8-part series. We did the first one last week about God's plan for His church. Last week it was God's plan. The church was God's plan. This week it's God gets the glory. That's the plan. Now as we read this, we come to this injunction where Jesus says, "You're not to be like that." This is in response to an argument, a discussion that the disciples have gotten themselves into. You're not to be like that. You know, what are they doing? They're arguing about who's the greatest. Well, if you know boxing, you know it's Muhammad Ali, right? At least he thought so. But yet today, Muhammad Ali has Parkinson's so bad that he's no longer, I believe he's still alive. Yeah. But he is so bad that he doesn't go in public at all anymore. At one time he stood at the top, the pinnacle of all of boxing, and he crowed, "I am the greatest!" But he's not. No man is. Instead, Jesus is telling his disciples, don't be trying to decide who's the greatest. That's not what we're supposed to be concerned about. He says, but you're not to be like that. And we need to go, not like who? Who am I not to be like? You know, who is he drawing this picture of? He says, he's talking about the kings and benefactors of the Gentiles. And if you would, even those who would rule over others within the Israel community, people of Israel. The kings, you know, he says here, they lord it over them. What does that mean, that phrase, lord it over them? If I'm lording it over you, I'm kind of like putting my, I'm more important than you are. You need to bow before me, give me the respect that's due me, and give me what I want and give it to me now. And you shall. That's the lording over it that these people did, and that type of attitude. Anybody ever have somebody who lorded it over you? Maybe an older brother or sister, you know, when as you were growing up? Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I've done that to people. I've done it to my siblings. I've behaved in such a manner from time to time. I try not to anymore. But this is what Jesus is saying. Don't do that. Don't be like that. These people who call themselves benefactor. You know, I put myself a name, and because I'm the benefactor, well, who's he talking about here? Who called? Like King Herod called himself a benefactor. Some of the scribes and Pharisees who were taking leadership, they called themselves, I'm a benefactor of this community, so you have to treat me special. I get the best place to sit at the table. I get the best cut of meat. I get the best glass of wine. You'll wash my feet when I come to visit your house. Jesus said, don't be like that. That is not what you're supposed to be like, because that's what the disciples are going. Who's the greatest? Well, what's the point of being the greatest? Well, so that I can be the one who gets all the special treatment. Now, we all like our little perks, don't we? Hey, I love it when Donna treats me special. Okay? When she does give me that nice cut of meat. You know what I do for Donna? Makes her feel special. Rub her feet. She loves it. Quite often she'll go, put the foot out there for me. And I rub her feet. Now is she lording it over me? No. No. You see, that's who we're not supposed to be like, is those who would, you know, now if she walked up and said, Bruce, rub my feet now. I probably wouldn't respond well, okay? Would you? No. But yet this is what people do who get power and authority in the world, is it not? This is where we're told, don't be like that. You're not to be like that. You're not to be like those people. We're not to seek after glory and privilege. That's not what we're supposed to be about. Instead, our attitude is to be humble. You know, verse 26. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, the one who rules like the one who serves. The greatest should be like the youngest. Now, this passage that we're reading from Luke is occurring at the Last Supper. As we read through the different versions of it, we see in the Gospel of John that Jesus actually got down and washed their feet. That is supposed to be done by the youngest or a servant or slave, somebody there, whoever has the lowest standing. Because it's not a very dignified job. It's not, you know, it's kind of disgusting. Rachel, do you like to wash other people's feet before you go eat your dinner? Yeah, I don't. That's not on my to-do list before dinner. I'm going to wash my guests' feet. But Jesus did it. And he's serving them as he's talking to them. This is going on. He's not seeking. Now, there was no question who's in charge here at this table. Okay? Jesus is indeed their Lord. And he goes to wash Peter's feet. You find he's saying, no, not that. You don't do it. And what's Jesus' response? You don't want to have anything to do with me? Well, no, then don't wash just my feet. Wash my whole self. Okay? The issue here is that we're not supposed to be seeking after privilege, but we're supposed to be seeking the best way to serve and to help those who are our responsibility. Jesus knew that his disciples needed this, so he did it for them. Now, he accepted it when others did it for him. Remember the woman who washed his feet with tears and then wiped them their hair? Another one who came and washed them with perfume? Okay. He didn't say, no, don't do that. But he didn't say, I deserve it. You have to do that. You see the difference? One is lording it over. And that's what the disciples say. You know, who's going to be greatest so we can get that position of power that, you know. No. No, we're going to be humble like a servant. You know, but I am among you as one who serves, Jesus says. Don't seek glory and privilege. Said we're supposed to be humble in our attitudes and our actions. Jesus had that. His attitude was one of humbleness. His actions were humble. He gave God the glory. He didn't try to pull it in for himself. The kingdom that Jesus confers upon his disciples is one that is in rebellion against its king. That is Jesus. God gave Jesus a kingdom. Thank you, God, for giving me a kingdom that is in rebellion. But that's us. That's the world. And we are in rebellion. Why? Because we don't put Jesus first and foremost in our lives. The entirety of humanity does not do this. In fact, those who yelled Hosanna, we're among those who are yelling, crucify him. We just went through that. So we went through Holy Week and Easter. We looked at those passages. What does that kingdom require that Jesus was given and that he is conferring to his disciples? It requires sacrifice. What did Jesus do immediately following the Last Supper? After this conversation that we're reading here, he went to pray. And then from prayer, he went to trial. And from trial, he went to crucifixion. Jesus didn't have to. He could have summoned legions of angels to come to his side. He didn't even need them with a word. When he was asked, "You know, are you Jesus?" He said, "I am." Boom. Everybody fell down. Jesus could have walked away. Jesus could have used his... He has the power. But he chose not to because his people needed the sacrifice. That humble sacrifice. See, the leaders of the kingdom that Jesus has been given, receiving glory and adoration is not their job. See, some leaders, Sun Young Kim or whatever the guy's name is in North Korea, you know, his job is to receive the adoration of the people. That's what he figures. He's there to be given respect. That's what he's so upset about with the other nations. Is we're not fearing him. We're not saying, "You're great and powerful." All the nations around him said, "You're a nut." And that's what infuriates him so much. He can't, because he feels it's his place and his position to receive adoration. Subservience. People, that is not the way the kingdom of God operates. That is not the way that we who lead within the kingdom of God, within the body of Christ, are to act. And if I ever act that way, kick me in the backside as quickly as possible. And do it hard. Oh. And show me the door. So receiving glory and adoration is not their job. It's not our job. It's not their reward. It's not what they get. It's not... Glory and adoration isn't what we get out of the deal. What do we get? Our reward is coming to know God as our, not just our Savior, not just as our Lord, but as our Father, and eventually as the church, as our bridegroom. That's our reward. It's not, "Oh, I get more square footage in my office. I get to drive a bigger car." I get to have people jump when I go. Trust me, it doesn't work like that. It's not for me. But there are those who think that's the way it's supposed to work, and in the church it's not. See, the disciples they're arguing about who gets... Who's the greatest so they can get the glory? And glory isn't about what their job is about. Now, the interesting thing is that the next thing that happens with the disciples, we find out, is that they will fail. "Simon, Simon, Satan is asked to sift you as wheat." Peter's like, "Nope, not going to happen to me." And Jesus is like, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." I keep trying to put what I memorized as a kid and what I'm reading here in the same thing, and it's just not coming out right. So, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you knew me." Now, Three times. Peter's going to fail. Peter walked with Jesus. Say, I mean, in the physical realm. He knew him. He was the first guy Jesus recruited to be a disciple. Hand selected. Why? Because of his stellar character? Because the man had a golden tongue? No. If anybody has foot and mouth disease that we find in the Bible, it's Peter. Okay? It's not because of his great heritage. The guy's the son of a fisherman. Really a social nobody. Doesn't have education. But now he's been following Jesus for 3 years. And he's like, no, I think we got this. Jesus says, no, you don't. You're going to fail. Oh, and so is the rest of the group, too. And Peter encouraged them. You failure guy, I want you to encourage the others when they mess up. What? Yeah. That's what Jesus is telling them. You're going to mess up. But I've prayed that you won't, that your faith won't fail. Your faith must not fail. You will, but your faith must not. Now I'm going to fail. I've failed many times. So will you. If you don't fail, you're really not trying. Ever heard that one? It is true. You don't learn to walk without falling down. We don't do God's work without messing up, people. But their faith must not fail. Well, faith is actually a gift from God. God gives us faith. I can't manufacture faith. It's something that God gives me. I ask for it. He gives it. He's gracious and merciful. Strengthen your faith. Well, okay, I've got it. Now I've got to do exercises to get it. You know, you give me something, I've got to learn to use it. You can give me a guitar. You know, it's not going to do me a lot of good because I got no coordination to play one. But if I tried, if I practiced, I would certainly get better than if I never did. Now, the faith won't fail. Why? Because it comes from God. They're not the ones who are glorious. Okay, it's not because they were all of that. The disciples were a bunch of misfits. When we look at Acts chapter 4, verse 13, we see here this part where Peter and John have been brought up in front of the Sanhedrin a little while after Jesus has ascended. And they've been preaching and teaching in the temple courts, and he gets all up in front, and then they say, and this is their response, what they say, after Peter gives them a lesson in the gospel. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished. They took note that these men had been with Jesus. God gets glory there. It's not because Peter and John were all of that. Everybody looked at Peter and John and said, who are these hillbillies, these fishermen, these whoever guys from wherever? They're nothing special. No, they weren't. They aren't. Though they're just arguing with one another how special they were, which of them was the greatest. And Jesus saying, no. And we see later that everybody looks at him and said, we don't see anything special here, but what we do see is that they were with Jesus. We recognize they're able to do some stuff that they shouldn't. they're up here preaching the word with power and authority, and they've got courage and boldness in the word. And where's this all coming from? Well, they were with that Jesus dude. They were with Jesus. So who's the one getting the glory here? Jesus. It's God's plan. God gets the glory. See, the church is not supposed to be filled with glory hounds. People looking for glory. You know, look at me, look how important I am. I'm going to go and I'm going to save all these people. I'm going to come back and I'm going to tell you about it so that I can look good. That's not what the church is supposed to be filled up with. The church is filled up with these broken, everyday people, kind of like Peter and John and the rest of them who fail and mess up. They weren't all power and authority. They weren't all themselves. In fact, the church is supposed to be filled with humble servants, hounds. Here I say the church is not to be filled with glory hounds, but instead the hounds, if you would, are supposed to be humble servants who bring the glory to God. Now, in Scripture, dogs are not good. You know, we all like our dogs here in America, in the U.S. You know, we kind of got this thing. You know, some of our people treat their dogs better than they treat people. Okay? In most of the world, that's just not the case. Dogs are, you know, they're a problem. They are considered unclean. They're accepted, but, you know, they're not. Thing. And certainly in Scripture, you know, dogs are not lifted up as something that we're supposed to emulate. Now, I'm not taking this passage out, this out of Scripture. This is coming from me. When I say this, I just want you to understand why I'm using the term hounds here, is it's humble, okay, scripturally. Humble servants. We're instead to be humble servants who bring the glory to God. Instead of glory hounds. Because we, God's servants, those who rule and judge under His anointing and empowerment, are humble and imperfect. The glory goes to God where it belongs. Yeah, okay, I forgot my H on where. But the glory goes to God where it belongs. Because anybody looks at anything that's ever been accomplished in my ministry, and they don't look and say, it's because Bruce has such a brilliant intellect, and oh, his speaking abilities, you've never heard anybody preach better. And handsome, oh. Donna's a lucky woman. You know? You know? That is not what...
Amen.
Amen. That's not what people say. They say, can you believe it? God even used that guy. God has used me in all my failings. Because of my failings, He's able to use me for His glory. It's not about me getting glory. It's not about you getting glory. It's about God getting the glory. It's not about the church being filled with everybody going, look how good we are. It's about, oh, look how awesome God is. You see what He did? You see what He did to Dan? He healed his eye. You see what He did here, there? We could go place after place, think time after time, and each one here, I could probably go through and find something in your life, relatively recent, where God did something glorious. See, God's plan is to use the foolish to confound the wise. Okay, that one I can check off. Use the humble to bring Him glory. so that no man can boast in what he has accomplished, but that it is evident to all that God has done it. See, God is to receive the glory for all the church does because He did it. When God does something using we frail, imperfect, fallible human beings, it's God that gets the glory. It's His glory because He's the one who did it. We're the tool in His hand. Does the screwdriver get the glory for the bookshelf getting put together? No. It's the one who used it. People, we're to be the humble servants. We're not supposed to be chasing after glory for ourselves. God's plan for the church is that it be pointing to God, saying, there's the glory, give Him the glory. God's plan is that God gets the glory. See, that's where Satan short-circuited. He wanted God's glory. And that's where many of us, yet today, still have issues. Well, we want God's glory. We want that which is rightfully God's, and we need to give it to God. If God is the one who deserves the glory, it's Him who is supposed to receive the glory. And what we do here, anything that occurs here, isn't to my glory, it's to God's glory. It's not to your glory, it's to God's glory. Anything that the Christian Mission Alliance does as a denomination isn't to the denomination's glory, it's to God's glory. Anything that the church as a whole does. If you claim Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are part of the church. Big C. The church. All who claim and know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Our job is to give Him the glory. Give Jesus the glory. Give God the glory. And that's the plan. At least part of the plan. We'll look at the next part next week. Let's pray. Father God, we come before You this morning. We give You praise, Lord. We thank You that You indeed are the one who is to be glorified. And Lord, might we give You that glory. Might we not get caught up trying to grab onto it like the disciples did just before Your crucifixion, Lord. They were grabbing at Your glory, saying, who of us is going to be the greatest? Lord, might we, just hours before You died on the cross for them, Lord, Your seat at the table that You gave us to eat, there's nothing there. Just a day of torment. The day that You, the throne that You gave them to sit at that day, was the cross. Lord, might we indeed humble ourselves before You and give You the glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.